Well, good evening, everybody. Glad to be back. Today was Mother's Day in our house, too. Sounds like it was Mother's Day for you guys. I guess it's a national holiday. And so I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. And so Mother's Day, it had this revelation because what I did for my wife is I got up with the boys, basically let her slept in. This is awesome English that I'm starting off with. So I let her sleep in this morning and took the boys and took them to breakfast and then brought them to church and she got some time by herself. And so it was really just kind of bizarre to me that Mother's Day was a day that I gave her a day off from being a mom. And so it felt like Father's Day, really, is what it felt like because I had the kids and all that kind of stuff. But we had a good time, and we were all able to have lunch together and all that. So hope you guys had fun honoring your moms as well. So here's where we're going to go. Let me recap real quick what we covered last week. All right, how many people? I won't do that. I don't want to embarrass anybody. All right, so I'm just going to assume everybody was here last week. But I'm going to go ahead and give a quick recap. And I thought there were a couple of tweets that went out last week of some of you guys recapping what we talked about that I thought were really good. So I'm just going to throw them up here. Let's throw the first one up there because this is Emily here tonight? Emily? No, she's okay. Well, if you guys know Emily, let her know that we talked about her when she wasn't here. So this is what Emily said. This was her summary of last week. We don't go to college to get a job or fulfill someone else's dream. We go to participate in what God is doing there. I thought that was a great summary of what we talked about last week. And I shared that story about how when I went to college, I went in and my attitude was, this is going to be the best 4 years of my life. And I was not alone in that attitude. And that, as we looked at that, part of the reason why that was my attitude was because my goal when I got out of college was so small. My goal was so small when I got out of college. It was just, hey, I'm just going to get a good job and get in a good neighborhood, buy a good home, have a good wife, have good kids, and then they're going to repeat the whole thing. And so because life seemed so boring when I was done with college, I thought the only option I had then was to make college as awesome as it possibly could be. And that's a lot of what we talked about last week. Then there was another tweet that came out. I don't know if you guys know this guy. Or this Shoreline. So this was, I think Peniel put this one out there. And so this is what he said. The good life goal is small. Deep down, we all know that it's a waste. Instead, be a priest. Yep, a priest. And so that was what we looked at last week, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And so rather than going into college with the attitude of, hey, this is just going to be all about me, and this is going to be the greatest 4 years of my life, as we looked at what Peter said, if Peter was standing in the room, he would say, no, don't go in with that attitude. Go in understanding and remembering what Christ has done for you. And now you have the awesome privilege. You have the awesome privilege now of being a priest. And that's not like weird collar, weird clothes type priest that we're used to here in 2013. This is like the Old Testament priest. This is a big deal. This is an amazing privilege. God's spokesman, somebody, God is working through this person to bring about his kingdom. And that's the opportunity that every single one of us have when we go to college. I mean, that's not even really, I mean, that's tomorrow for all of us. You don't have to go to college to embrace that, but that's what we talked about. And so here's what I want to talk about tonight is just thinking about, just fast forwarding to when we step foot on the campus for the first time, okay? And so last week we kind of talked about the attitude and the mindset to have before you go to college. Now we're going to fast forward and let's assume, all right, we're there at school, and now how should we start to behave when we're there? And this whole thing got me thinking about, I remember when I went to school, I had gotten some advice to not buy a bunch of clothes before I actually showed up to college. So the advice that I had gotten was, hey, but you know, if you're going to a new school or if you're going somewhere that you're not familiar with, don't go out and buy like a whole new wardrobe before you show up on the campus. And the reason behind all that was every campus has their own style. And every campus has their own things as what's in fashion or what's not in fashion. And so you may not know what is going to be considered stylish by just visiting on a weekend or looking at a brochure. And so the advice was, don't go out and buy a bunch of clothes before you show up on campus. Wait and hang around a few weeks, maybe a month, or maybe when you come home for fall break or Thanksgiving break, then maybe go buy a bunch of clothes so that you know what the right style is. And so it got me thinking about what good advice that was, because if I would have shown up at Clemson, I went to Clemson University. If I would have shown up at Clemson looking the way I looked and dressing the way I looked when I was a senior in high school, I promise you I would not have fit in at all. And I mean, nobody wants to not fit in. And so just to prove this, I got a couple pictures of what I looked like in high school for you guys. And so that's me on the right. And so I was telling Peniel about this, and he was like, well, how would you describe your style when you were in high school? And I was like, I don't know, like bad, maybe? I would describe it as bad. I had a case of hi-hat. And I think another way I would describe the way I looked in high school was like I was an overmatcher. I think I spent too much time trying to make sure all the clothes and the colors matched. And so you can see this is a great example of overmatching. The hat was matching the T-shirt, was matching the shorts, and then I had the K-Swiss on. And I mean, that was a good day for me with a strategically placed pencil in my fingers at the same time. And so that was, if I would have shown up day one at Clemson looking like that, then I probably would have not fit in. And then there's one more picture. This was like the senior kind of glamour shot. Let's put this one up there. So that was me there too. You're allowed to laugh at these because I'm laughing at them, okay? So I'm not going to be offended if you laugh at those. The buttoning of the top button, that was a big deal, I guess, back then. And nobody helped me adjust my collar and just the hair was kind of high and all that kind of stuff. So that was good advice for me. To make sure that when I went to school, don't go down to Clemson looking like that, because you got to get the lay of the land when you get down there. And so, all right, we can take that picture down. Thank you very much. All right. And so it got me thinking about, I mean, and you know, every campus is distinctive. Every campus is distinctive. And so think about this. Like, let's throw some schools out there that we've already talked about. When you think about Texas A&M, you guys aren't even there yet. Why are you whooping right now? Okay, so let's think about Texas A&M. When you think about what would maybe be the style that you would expect clothing-wise down at A&M?
Overalls,
okay, there's one. That's good. What are maybe some other ones? What else? Chacos, you think, down there at A&M? Okay, so here's what I think of everybody at A&M looks like. It's just kind of like this. I guess that could be Texas Tech as well. You could have that for anybody at Texas Tech. What about UT Austin? Anybody going to go to UT down in Austin? What do you think about, what would be the style down there at UT Austin? What would be some words that, preppy, you would think? Okay, what other words would maybe come to mind? Frat-like, okay. When I think of UT, I think of this. I think this is what UT would look like. Just a bunch of hippies down there. Wanting to keep Austin weird and wearing all their tie-dye and all this kind of stuff. So that's what you think of sometimes. All right, what about our local, our one popular local school here, SMU? What do you think about with SMU? Preppy, yeah. Okay, so fashion models. Okay, yeah, so these are some SMU students, I would imagine, looking very preppy and while they're, you know, they're kind of overmatching there as well. Yeah, pink socks, that's pretty good. A lot of bright colors. All right, what about Arkansas? What about Arkansas? We've got a lot of whoops for every school. I love that. So what do you guys think about when you think about Arkansas? Who would like that style down there? All right, we got a picture of this. This is Arkansas right there. So, you know, the old tux T-shirt, it just shows you're formal, but you also kind of like to party and like have a good time. So I think we got one more of Arkansas. There we go. There's Mr. Dell. So that's what I think of with Arkansas. I mean, he looks like a coal miner on a lunch break right there to me. He's got the hat on and it looks like a hard hat to me, but he's digging in, and I bet he's going to eat all those hot dogs. So that's what's great. That's what's great. Okay, so let's take those down. So here's the thing. Any school, all right, any school you go to, every campus is going to have their own style. Every campus is going to have something that is distinctive, something that is distinctive about all the campuses. So every campus is going to have their own reputation and things that are going to be different. And that's what's going to be fun when you come home for fall break and Christmas break and over Thanksgiving and talking about, oh, my campus, we do this, and my campus, we do that. But let me tell you something. Don't ever believe that all the campuses are so different that college students really, at their core, like they're all just completely different. Because although there may be different outward styles at all the campuses, and there may be different things that you do for fun at all the campuses, deep down inside, I'll tell you what, guys, there is one thing, there's going to be one similarity that weaves its way through every single campus and just about every single person on the campus. And really, when you come down, when you boil it down, like, most college students are actually the exact same. They may wear different colored socks, or they may have different outward things, but deep down inside, just about every single college student is the exact same. And the common thread, the native thread, the normal thing that you'll see on just about every campus is this, is that they are all there for themselves. The common thread that runs around every single campus in this country, probably every single campus around the world, and every single student that is at these campuses is that really, when push comes to shove, they are there for themselves. There is self-interest that is driving just about everything that they do. They are there to pick a major that is hopefully going to help them get a good job so they can make a lot of money. That is a driving factor for most college students. They're actually all there for money, most of them. They're going to pick fraternities or sororities that not because of the values that these fraternities or sororities have, and some of them have phenomenal values. Like a lot of these Greek organizations, as you learn about them, a lot of them were really founded on Christian principles, on scriptural principles. But what you're going to see is on the campuses, they're not actually living those out. They're not joining fraternities or sororities because of the values that these organizations embody. They're joining these organizations because they want to be liked. Because they want to have a particular reputation. They like the way that t-shirt with those letters looks. They like that brand. They want that organization to be their brand. You're going to see a bunch of people that are going to want to live in certain parts of campus or live in certain apartment complexes that are cool because the reason they want to be there is because that's where all the parties are. And so you're just going to see this self-interest that is weaving its way through every single person. And that is native. That is going to be what you're going to see, and I don't care what campus you go to, that is going to be the common theme. The common theme that brings most of those students together is that they are there for themselves. It's self-interest that's driving most of the decisions that they are making. And I'm telling you guys, the reason I'm sharing that is there's going to be an enormous temptation. There's going to be an enormous temptation when you step foot on that campus to become native just like everybody else. There's going to be an enormous temptation to become, you know, normal. Not just on the outside, like, oh, I want to make sure that I don't wear a shirt like that or wear shoes like those, or this is the style on our campus. But there's going to be that temptation, and that's fine. You know, I get it. None of us want to look weird when we're walking around the campus. But there's going to be a bigger temptation than what we wear, and that is the temptation to adopt that self-interest mindset. And making every single decision just about you and what it is going to do for you. What's in it for me? That's the secret question that every single college student is asking. There's an enormous temptation to go native. To go native when you show up on that campus and adopt that mindset and just be normal like everybody else. And if we become normal, if we become normal and common, and if we just do and adopt the mindset that everybody else adopts, then what's at stake here? What's at stake is our ability to influence or impact other people. If we go native when we step in on our campuses, not only looking the right way on the outside, but also adopting that mindset, then what is going to be at stake is our ability to influence and impact other students on the campus. And that is what's at stake if we do this. And there's going to be an enormous temptation for all of us just to adopt that self-interest mindset. And so let's look at what Peter would tell us tonight on a way that we can combat that. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week we looked at verses 9 and 10. And this week we're going to look at just two more verses at 11 and 12. And so here, you know, 9 and 10 was talking about how we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that once we were not a people of God, now we are a people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. And so that was what we were talking about on this mindset when we go to school, that when we go there, that we should go there with the mindset of being a priest, somebody that's going to be used by God. And now Peter goes on, and look at these two verses. This is what he says. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from the sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, among those who are not following Christ, those who don't know God. Live such good lives among those who don't know God that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. And so if you look at these two verses and we think about what is Peter trying to tell us right here, what he is trying to tell us is he is trying to remind us that as followers of Christ, this place is not our home. This place is not home. We are here temporarily. And so we are not to embrace this, hey, I want to be a native and I want to fit in and I want to be normal and regular just like everybody else. That as followers of Christ, we're to embrace this foreigner mentality. That this place isn't home. We are to be foreigners and exiles. And what that really means is not that we look different. That means that we do something that nobody else really ever does. And that's that we do what we can to abstain from sinful desires. What Peter's telling us here is that if we want to be impactful, if we want to be impactful on our campus, if we want to be impactful, then we need to rebel against going native. Like we need to be true rebels, because all the other students, they think they're being rebels. They think they're being rebels by joining these organizations or doing things that their parents don't want them to do anymore or having new friends or going out and partying. They think that's the rebellious lifestyle, and I'm telling you guys, it's not. That's just being common. That's just being regular, because if everybody is doing it, then it is not rebellious. It's not rebellious. It's normal if that's what everybody else is doing. And Peter is telling us, no, don't be normal. Be a rebel. Do something crazy. Do something crazy and try to fight sin. Try to fight sin. And at the root of all the sin, we know that at the root of most of it is selfishness and pride. Try to fight selfishness. You want to do something crazy? You want to be a rebel on your campus? Then try to fight selfishness. He tells us that if we do that, that if we try to fight in war against this sin that tears us down and wages war against our soul, then something crazy is going to happen. We're going to live such good lives among those who don't know God that even if they accuse us of doing wrong, even if they make fun of us for doing right, even if they don't want to necessarily include us in their organizations or their friends, even though they may mock us or persecute us, even though that happens, they're going to see our good deeds and they are going to glorify God on the day he visits. Peter is telling us to do something completely abnormal. And the reason why he's telling us to do that is that normal people don't influence anyone. You know that? I mean, normal people do not influence anyone. And so if Peter were in the room tonight, he would say, listen, you're going to go down there and everybody, the normal thing to do is not just going to be to dress a certain way, it's going to be just to be absorbed with yourself. All of that freedom that you have in college is going to lend itself to being completely and totally self-absorbed, just making decisions on what is in it for me. And Peter would say, that is the normal thing to do. And if you want to be an influencer on that campus, then don't do the normal thing. Do something crazy. Rebel against being a native. Do something crazy. Fight that sin. Fight that sin that wages war against you. Fight that selfishness that wages war against you. And watch out, because if you do that, that is going to have an enormous impact. Enormous impact on your friends and ultimately on your campus. And so for 2 weeks, here it is we've talked about. We talked about being a priest last week, and we've talked about this week that we need to be abnormal. Right, we need to be true rebels. And some of this sounds like to me, you know, if I can imagine if I'm sitting there where you guys are, that it just kind of sounds confusing. And so like, all right, give me some more examples. Show me. You've told me what to do. Now show me, what does this look like? And I want to, if you're feeling any pressure from this, I just want to ease some of your pressure. This is not really complicated stuff. This isn't really complicated stuff. There's really two ways I'm going to talk about tonight, two ways that we can do this, that we can be priests, we can be mouthpieces for God on our campuses, two ways that we can be a priest and that we can rebel against going native. And the first one is this, and I'll just go ahead and put it up here on the screen. The first one is this, is if you do this, if you live your life, if you live as a there you are person, not as a here I am person, right? If you it's a subtle attitude shift that has enormous implications in our life. If we just think like, hey, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to resolve to try to live my life not as a here I am person, somebody that is constantly turning the spotlight on myself, but I'm going to consciously make that decision to live my life as a there you are person, somebody that is turning the spotlight on you. That is a very, very tangible and practical way to do what Peter is telling us to do in these four verses. I mean, think about it. Think about some of the people that you love to be around. Think about your favorite person to be around. Somebody that when you're around them, it just seems like time flies. They're making you laugh. It is a blast to be around this person. Just think about it. Now, I bet if we all got up here and had a microphone and went around and talked about our favorite person, who is that person or those favorite people that come to mind when we think about, you know, these are the people I love to be around. If we all told the stories and tried to find the common theme in all of them, here's what I bet is going to be one of the common themes, is that every story we tell or every person we say, hey, that's my favorite person to be around, part of the reason is because that person lives this way. When we're around that person, the conversation isn't always just about that person. When we're around that person, they're actually asking us questions about our life. They're listening to what we say about our life. They actually just seem to be interested in us too. And that, you know, people love to be around people who think we're interesting. I mean, we love that. We love it when people ask us questions about our life. That's what it is, living as a there you are person, not as a here I am person. Are you somebody that when you're around people and when you're talking to them, it's not just all about you and your stories and what you're thinking about and what you're going through and your problems and your successes and just you. Are you actually turning that spotlight on somebody else and asking them questions about their life and living like, hey, there you are, not just here I am. So that's a really simple, practical way. And I mean, we've all been around the other type of person. Right? We've all been around the here I am person, the person that won't stop talking about themselves, takes every nugget of conversation and turns it into something about themselves, is always telling stories about themselves, always talking about their problems, always talking about their successes. And we all know what a beating that can be around, to be around people like that sometimes. And I always have to remind myself, if I don't know those type of people, like if I can't name names on some of those people, then that means I am that person. All right? If I don't know anybody else who's living that way, then that probably means I'm the one who is living that way. So if we do that, that is a simple, tangible, practical way to do what we've talked about over the past couple weeks, is just thinking, hey, I'm gonna resolve to live my life as a there you are person, not as a here I am person. And here's the second one. Let's do this. The second one is this, is to be someone who lives their lives by these four words. These are so simple, but so powerful. Be somebody who asks, listens, remembers, invites. Ask, listen, remember, invite. Ask, listen, remember, invite. You guys say it with me. You ready? Ask, listen, remember, invite. So simple, but I'm telling you guys, this is so powerful. There are not many people in the world, really, and especially on campuses, there's not many people in your schools right now that seek to live their life this way. Where they just go around, and you know what they do when they meet new people or when they get around their friends? They ask their friends questions. They ask them questions about their lives. And then they do this crazy thing, is that when their friends or the new people that they meet, when they actually start talking about their lives, guess what they do? They listen. They listen to them. They just sit there and go, that's amazing. And then they ask some more questions, and I can't believe that happened. Tell me some more about that. And more questions and listening. They're not just listening, you know, like with their ears. They're actually looking at that person. When they're talking, they're listening. And then this crazy thing happens sometimes. You see them the next day, and guess what? They remembered what you talked about the day before. So if you ask people questions, you just listen to what they say, and then you remember what they tell you, and then you're somebody that is always inviting people somewhere. Always inviting them somewhere. It could be as simple as inviting them over for lunch, inviting them over for dinner, inviting them to the movies, inviting them to hang out with your friends, inviting them to church, inviting them to the ball game, inviting them to anything. Just always seeking to try to include people and bring people in. I'm telling you guys, it sounds so simple, and this may be stuff you're like, hey, this is stuff we talk about all the time here in Shoreline. This is abnormal on campuses. It is abnormal on campuses to live as a there you are person. The normal thing to do is to live as a here I am person. This is abnormal to be somebody that asks, listens, remembers, and invite. And I'm telling you guys, the reason why we're sharing these two things tonight is this, is that you can't just start doing these when you show up at college. You're actually going to have to start doing these things now. You're going to have to start doing these things now. You're going to play how you practice. You're going to play how you practice, and so you're going to have to work on trying to practice these things now, doing this now, because here's the thing, guys, is that it is actually easier to be a non-native. It is easier to rebel in high school than it's going to be to rebel when you're in college. Because there is so much freedom when you're in college. You've got such a great support system when you're here in school now. If you're not doing this stuff now, today, if you're not seeking to live as a there-you-are person today, if you're not seeking to be somebody that lives as somebody that asks, listens, remembers, and invites it, if you're not living that now, it is going to be really, really difficult just to try to flip a switch when you get to college. This is stuff that we have got to start doing today because it is so much easier today to live as a non-native. And if we want to be able to practice that stuff or do that when we get to school, then we've got to be able to start practicing it now. And so a couple of weeks ago at SMU, that's primarily where we do most of our ministry, college ministry here at Watermark. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a meeting with all the Christian ministries on campus over at SMU. And all the Christian leaders got together for all the different campus ministries. There were probably, I don't know, 20 of us in the room. And somebody from the SMU Student Life organization came and started talking to us. And this was the lady that was over the counseling and psychiatric services there at SMU. So most schools, they've got great programs for students and great support structures for students. And so SMU is no different, where they've got a counseling center right there on campus. And so students that are struggling with all kinds of issues, they've got free people. You know, it's free. They don't have to pay for it. They can just show up, make an appointment, and talk to people. And it was alarming as the director of this organization started to talk about how many students they are seeing on a regular basis there just at one campus at SMU. And so they estimated that in a given year, a given school calendar year, they see 800 individuals. 800 individuals, and that they log about 7,000 hours of counseling. And just to put some of that in perspective, that is a school year lasting about 30 weeks. That is the equivalent of about 5.5 full-time counselors at 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, talking to people and doing it. That is the equivalent of 5.5 full-time people for an entire school year. That's all they do. That's all they do is sit down and they talk to students about things that they're going through. And the alarming thing for me was when I looked around that room and looked at all the different campus ministries and started to kind of add up the numbers that we've all got in our ministries, we did not come close to 800. And so that means that the most effective or the most utilized ministry on that campus of SMU is probably the counseling or psychiatric services organization. They are helping more students than all the campus ministries combined. And as we started to ask this lady more questions and say, what are some of the issues that students are coming to talk to you about? And, you know, is there anything we can do as campus ministries to help relieve some of that burden? Is there anything we can do? Why are people coming to talk to you? You know what she said was the number one reason people are coming to talk to them? And it had nothing to do with drugs or alcohol or sexual promiscuity or anything like that. The number one thing at the core of why everybody was coming to chat with her is they felt alone. They felt alone. They didn't know if anybody on the campus cared about them. They wondered if anybody else actually cared about whether or not they were alive, whether or not anybody cared with the issues that they were going through. If anybody cared, they didn't know if they even could have somebody to talk to. They felt like that was the only option, was to go and to talk to these people. And so I'm sitting there listening to that going, well, that's easy. Like, we can do that. That's what we should be doing as Christ. We should be knocking that out of the park. I mean, that's what Peter tells us to do, is to not just be so self-absorbed that we're just thinking about what's in it for me all the time. Peter tells us that we should be priests when we're on this campus. We should be there you are people, not here I am people. We should be people that are asking questions, listening to what people say, remembering what they tell us, and constantly inviting them and trying to bring them in. And I'm telling you what, that is one campus, and I'm telling you guys, every single campus has probably got the exact same scenario going on over there. Everybody's there for the same reason, and it's self-interest, and the natives, they are all hurting. They're hurting. They're hurting, and they're wondering, does somebody care? Is somebody going to invite me to anything? Is somebody going to reach out and try to talk to me? Is somebody going to be there? Am I going to have a friend that I can actually talk to? And this is the option. This is the opportunity that every single one of us have when we step foot on campuses, is we have the opportunity to be a friend to somebody. And what those people need, they don't need another organization to join. They don't need different clothes to wear. They don't need to live in a cooler part of town. What they need a rebel. They need a rebel in their life. They need somebody that says, hey, I'm not going to be a native. I'm actually going to embrace being a true rebel, and I'm going to be somebody that is fighting this selfishness that wages war against my soul, and so I am going to seek you out. That's what they need. They need somebody to reach out a hand and to talk to them, and that's what every single one of us have the opportunity to do. I'm telling you guys this, is that if you go into school not with the mindset, if you go into college with the mindset that this is going to be the best 4 years of my life and I'm just going to soak every amount of fun out of it, you will waste college. And you are going to be one step closer to probably just wasting your life. But if you go in with the mindset of this is not going to be about just getting a job and this is not going to be about fulfilling somebody else's dream, but this my time here is going to be about being used by God as he is continuing to further his kingdom on this campus, as he wants to redeem this campus. If we go in with that mindset, and if we go in with the mindset to say, I'm not going to be a here I am person, I'm going to be a there you are person, and I'm going to be somebody that lives by asking, listening, remembering, and inviting. I'm telling you guys, if we do that, it will impact our campus. And you will get to the end of college. You will get to the end of college and you'll say, that was the best 4 years of my life up to that point. Up to that point. It is not going to be the best 4 years of your life, period. It's going to be the best 4 years of your life up to that point. You will have laid a groundwork for things that's what we need to be living. Then when we go out and we start working, that's what we need to be living when we're living in our neighborhoods. This is the exact, I haven't shared anything with you guys that is just unique to college. These are the exact same things I'm doing every day when I wake up in my neighborhood and every day when I was working as a CPA out in an accounting firm. This is the exact same stuff that I was doing then. This is the opportunity that we have. This is the mindset that we can be used by God and to be somebody that can really impact and change people's lives, and that's the opportunity that we have. So let me pray for you guys, and then I think David's got a couple more announcements, and we'll be free to go here. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and how relevant it is in our life, and thank you just for how much that you love us. And I pray for these students, and I pray for myself, and I pray for the volunteers that are in here tonight. Lord, I pray for every single one of us that we will live our life not absorbed in what's in it for me and not just focused on ourselves, but that we will live our lives, Lord, in understanding that we are your priests. We are your mouthpiece. We are to be used by you as you continue to further your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we will not be people that are just so self-absorbed and always turning the spotlight on ourselves, but we will be people that turn the spotlight on others, that we will be people that ask questions, that listen to what people say, that remember what they tell us, and that we're always inviting people in ultimately to know you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity to do this, and may we take advantage of that. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.